Father, we just thank you. We praise you for week three, Father God. We just thank you that as we come together to learn more about what your word has to say about finances and how we're to operate in it, Lord, we just thank you that we just have no choice but to have a good time in you and learn in you and grow more in you. And we'll just learn more than we ever thought. Even if we heard it before, there'll be something that sparks, that just triggers change in our life. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, yep, we're on week three. Just to kind of a short overview, week one, we started with establishing the will of God over your finances. We talked about poverty versus prosperity. And we also talked about coming out of poverty. Abundance, when you go to prosperity, it goes in stages, you know. Unless you're an heiress, so an heir, you know, you're not born rich, you know. But God wants to take you from glory to glory to glory and from stage and level to level. So, we want to learn how to come out of poverty and go on to abundance. And then we talked about the scriptural way to receive abundance. Exercise the faith in the principle of favor. Favor is a great principle. We're going to talk about favor again today. We talked about favor is shown to those who seek the Lord. You know, we have to seek the Lord. And it's not like he gives you more favor as you seek him. It's honestly, you just understand it better. And your faith grows in it. You know, it's not like he's seeking you and he gives more. I think it's just more of your understanding is better. So you walk out of it more and your faith has grown in it more. And then you just expect to receive the favor of God everywhere you go. We talked about the two giants of favor. We talked about Joseph and Daniel. Then we talked about abundance and how prosperity and wealth is not just provision. God wants you to have enough to meet your needs and enough to bless other people. So that's his intent. That's his purpose for finances in our lives. And we also learned, we talked a lot about being content. We always have to remember, we have to be faithful over what we have before God will give us more. You have to learn to be thankful. I was telling you guys, that's something I'm working on with my kids right now, is just learn to be thankful for what you have. You know, just because you don't have something doesn't mean you have to have a stank attitude. You know, or just because you don't have something doesn't mean that something is missing. It just simply means you're on a progression. You know, so you're learning. We learned that God has no limitations. He has no limitation. And we talk about some verses to meditate on. So today, we're going to continue on the subject of favor. And we're going to talk about favor with God and man. Favor with God and man. And there are nine things you need to know about this topic. The first thing is that favor is received from God through fellowship and the renewing of the mind. Fellowship and renewing of the mind. Yeah. Let's turn to Ephesians 6:24. And it says here that grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. And in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, the knowledge and understanding of favor is revealed to those who seek God first. The knowledge and the understanding of favor is revealed to those who seek God first. Is nothing new. When Jesus died on the cross, he did a complete work. There's nothing more. There was nothing extra for him to do. That was it. The work is already done. We're just learning to renew our mind to the things of God. So So it's not, you know, he's not doing anything extra. He didn't leave anything out. He gave us everything that we need. We're just learning to renew our mind to the things of God. And that's what we really have to do. And that's how it's received. And it's not received in the sense like you got something that you didn't have. It's just really, you receive more understanding of favor. You understand what's available to you. Oh, yes, the light bulb comes on. I thought you were raising your hand for a question. Yeah, the light bulb comes on, you know, and it just clicks, as someone else will say, it just clicks. So, and it's all done through fellowship and relationship with God. Like Pastor Peggy said this morning, and I think I said it on Pulse on Thursday, renewing your mind is not something that happens when someone lays hands on you. It doesn't happen that way. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes dedication, it takes discipline. And we always have to remind ourselves of that. Number two things to know about favor with God and man, it's received from others by faith and sowing. Now, you have favor with God automatically. That's birthed into you when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now we're talking about favor with man, favor with from people. Favor is received from others by faith and sowing. Faith and sowing. Look at Matthew 7:12. It says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." You know, this, as it says, there's so many cliches around that. What goes around comes around. You know, there's a bunch of things like that. But basically it's saying, you know, you always, if we can ever understand the main principle let's put it like this. When we talk to people and we're upset at people, we need to pause and think, is this the way that I would like to be corrected on something? Is this the way? Because when you got a lot of attitude with someone, it's because they offended you in some way, form, or fashion. And, you know, we all need to be in a place where we can take correction. But we all need to know that sometimes if somebody tries to correct us in an incorrect way or in a rude way, it's not received. It just goes out the window. You're just kind of like, I'm not doing that. And sometimes we get attitudes with people and you just want to go off and tell them how it is. You know, you need to treat others as you would treat yourself. So sometimes, you know, really all the time, when you're dealing with people, you need to really need to think, how would I like to be treated this way? In this situation, if the shoe was on the other foot, how would I like to be treated? And we all need to remember that. We all need to remember that. But in this verse, it's talking about sowing and reaping. When you sow to other people, it's going to come back to you. That's just a law. That's just the fact. That's how God made it to be. That's it. It's going to happen. You know, it's not like it's only going to happen in the bad things and not the good things. And it's not only going to happen the good things and the bad things. That's just how this world is formed. That's how God created it to be. So we need to understand that it's done by sowing. And also in Galatians 6:7, it says, whatsoever a man sows, that he also shall reap. It's really simple. Whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps. You pay some bills to somebody, you can expect God to meet your needs or somebody else to pay some bills for you. You just never know. People, what Pastor Scott was a perfect example. He talked about how many cars they sold. And they sold this car, they sold that car, they sold that. Until one day somebody talked, he was riding with someone, and he just said, you know what? We need to go get you a car. Let's go get a car. At first he thought he was joking, and then he went to the dealership and got him a brand new car. Praise the Lord. Hey. You know, that's what I'm talking about. But, you know, that, as Pastor Peggy says, you never judge someone's seed until you, no, never judge someone's harvest until you know, until you've seen what they sowed. You can't judge someone's harvest. You don't know what they did. You don't know. And, not Out of Eden. Mary, Mary, they have a song like that. They said, you don't know how much I prayed to get to where I am. You know, so you don't know how much you pray. You don't know what other people have done. So we always need to really be in this aspect of favor with people. You know, you sowing into people's lives is part of that. We should make that a regular habit. as the Bible says, we should be able to give on every good occasion. On every good occasion. Now, this is not saying you need to meet the need on every good occasion, because sometimes you can't meet everybody's needs right there and then. But sometimes you can be a part of it. The pie auction is a perfect example. You know, I mean, some of us may have $14,000 in our bank account, but we may not. It may not be liquid enough to say, hey, I can just give this to you. But what do we all do? $25 here, $50 here, $100 here, $500, $175 for my son. You just go. It's all of those put together, and that made up the $14,000 with a little extra in the bank. You know? So we always have to remember that. We always should be able to look to do what we can when we see someone in need. Sometimes you may not be able to do anything at all, but at least make it the habit, make it the routine. And if you can do something, do something. And well, that, and also be led. Most of all, be led in every situation. Be led in every situation. You know, this makes me think about this one story. And this really happened. A lady was talking about, she had this little Facebook Live thing and she was crying, but you know, it was a good story. And she saw someone there, and she had compassion on him, and she wanted to get him some food. And she was like, you know what, I'm going to get him some fried chicken, because it was outside of Publix somewhere in Florida. And the Holy Ghost was like, no, don't get him fried chicken. He needs bananas and he needs water. And the lady was like, no, what, bananas? I just want to get him some fried chicken. It'll be good. You can take it. And the Holy Ghost was like, no. Just give him some bananas and water. And she went back and forth with the Holy Ghost. I'm sure nobody in here has ever done that. You know, back and forth with the Holy Ghost until she finally obeyed. He said, you know what? Okay, I'm going to give him some bananas and some water. And what happened, and she really wanted to get him fried chicken. What happened is that at the time she was pulling up, God had dealt with somebody else to give this man some fried chicken. And it was already taken care of. And see, and that's why, yes, it's also always good to have a heart to sow and a heart to give, but always be led by the Holy Ghost. Always be led by the Holy Ghost. And above everything else, be led by the Holy Ghost. I don't care what anybody says. Be led by the Holy Ghost. You know, and sometimes it may not. I've gone to where I've wanted to bless people, and, you know, Holy Ghost said, no, just got a red light on the inside. I didn't know why. I don't know. I may not ever find out. But that's the heart that we need to have. That's the heart that we need to have. We always want to be ready to give. We always should be ready to give first and then let the Holy Ghost allow you to stop you if that's the case. Does that make sense? Like, you know, be ready to give. And if the Holy Ghost will let you know if you need to stop, he'll let you know. He'll let you know, but let's be ready to give on every good occasion. All right. The first thing, another thing in the favor of God, the first thing was received from God through fellowship and renewing the mind. The second thing was it's received from others by faith and sowing. The third thing you need to know about favor is that we need to confess favor with God, family, friends, business associates, and fellow workers. I'll repeat it again. Confess favor with God, family, friends, business associates, and fellow workers. Look, that pretty much sums up everybody in your life. That sums up everybody in your life. We need to confess. We need to say, I have favor with my boss. I have favor with my employees. I'm in favor with my employer or employers. I have favor with every single person. That's something that we need to confess. You know, in Genesis 39, actually, let's look at Genesis 39 real quick. Genesis chapter 39, verse 3 through 6. Is it good now? All right. Okay. All right. So, now this is talking about, now we're talking about Joseph. So this is talking about Joseph, and this is when he had success in Egypt. And we know, you know the story of Joseph. or what happened in his life. He had a dream. His family said, you know, he had a dream that his family was going to be bowing down to him, and then they said, forget that, and they shipped him off to be sold, and then, you know, he found his way popping to the top. And in verse 6, it says, so he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. This is talking about the ruler of the land. He rolled everything. He turned everything over to Joseph and say, okay, yeah, you run it. That's pretty much what he did. You know, he was just saying, you run everything. All I want to care about is what I'm going to eat. That's what he did. But that's what Joseph went from being sold into slavery to being the second in command over their entire land. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Verse 7, it came about after these events that his master's wife looked at desire with Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything else in the house, but he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is none greater in the house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do this great evil and sin against God? Side note on this, I love Joseph's attitude on this. He was concerned about sinning against God. He wasn't concerned about really what everybody else had to think about him. He wasn't concerned about many other things. That might have been some of the concern, but his main concern was that, how can I sin against God? Because think about it. He was the second in command in the entire house. He could have told everybody, get out, get out, get out. You see this woman right here? Get out, get out. I want to do my thing with her. But he didn't do that. He said, how can I sin against God? How can I do that against God? And the thing is, with favor with God and man, God's opinion is the only one that matters. You know, I'm getting sidetracked here. God's opinion is the only one that matters. You don't have to worry about people's opinions. You don't have to worry about people's thoughts about you. God's opinion is the only one that matters. If it's in the Bible, that's God. God sees things. That's his perspective. And that's the only thing that matters. And that's what we need to keep our focus on. All right? But now, like I said, this is talking about confessing favor with God, family, friends, business associates, and fellow workers. In this passage, it's talking about how she wanted to sleep with him. But more, this passage I wanted you to see is that he had favor over all the land. Over all the land. That's what the favor of God will do for you. Because in verse 6, it's talking about how Potiphar left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And then in verse 9, he said, there is none greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing against me except his wife. Man, he was in charge of the land, and I think history shows me, if I remember history right, this was the richest nation at the time, and he was ruling everything, and he came from being thrown in slavery to running the country. That's like becoming a slave, going from a slave to becoming the president of the United States. That's what he did. Or I guess in this case it would be the vice president, but you know, it's like he had a lazy president. You know what I mean? So that's what we need to do. You can expect favor to do things beyond what you think can happen. You can expect favor to do things for you beyond what you think could happen. You can just expect it. You know, I mean, in the book that we're reading, he just talks about you should just expect favor. You should wake up expecting favor. You should go to sleep expecting favor. It's just favor is just a part of the covenant of God, just like going to heaven. It's the same. It's all in the same package. It's all in the same package. Just like you can expect to go to heaven, you can expect favor with every person, God, man, and every person you come in contact with. In whatever you want. I mean, and just really expect it. Expect it. That's how we're supposed to live. That's how, and we need to remind ourselves that's how we're supposed to live. All right, so but in this, we need to say it. We need to speak these things with our mouths. We need to say these verses all throughout our day. I have favor with God, and man. People, I am the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I come last in no good thing. Well, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. You know, and the thing is with the favor of God, it's not limited by your past. It's not limited by who you know. The favor of God will put you in front of who you know. And then the favor of God, like I told you guys with my job at the district, when they're doing layoffs, and my boss's boss didn't want to hire me. This is one of the layoffs. That's part of the favor too. But when I initially got hired, my boss's boss didn't want to hire me. He didn't want to hire me at all. I was too inexperienced. I was too young. Look at this. Whatever. He found all kinds of things to say about me. But I got the job. Somehow, some way, I got the job. And you just look at it as favor. Then when they were doing layoffs, it was like, how did you get to stay here? And the other dude that was here for 12 years was fired. Praise God. It's favor of God. And you know, and sometimes it can make you feel like, oh, you think you all that. Well, yeah, you all that. God made you all that. God made you all that. Like, it's one of those things. Sometimes you're tempted to not be like, oh, I don't want to come off conceited. I don't want to come off bigger than I am. I don't want to come off like I'm all this. But you're just, if you're simply obeying what the Bible says, you're walking in faith. Now, if you're just going by your own feelings and what you want to do, and I did this and I did that, okay, that's something that needs to be checked up on. But if you're simply believing what the Bible says, that's it, and that's it. Don't let what people may feel about you affect how real the Bible is in your life. We can't do that, man. We'll be shortchanging ourselves. We'll be shortchanging other people. We'll be shortchanging a whole lot of people that don't need to be shortchanged, all because we're worried about what someone may think. Let's expect the favor of God. Let's get bold about it. Let's get cocky about it. I mean, just get confident in it. Confidence is the right word. Confidence in the right word. And that's why Pastor Peggy's message today, man, she put a foot in that one. That was a good message. That's why you need to know who you are. You need to have confidence. You can't be insecure, because when you're insecure, if you live in insecurity, you will not walk in the favor of God, because you won't expect to walk in the favor of God. When you live in insecurity, you won't walk in the favor of God because you won't expect to walk in the favor of God. And you need to expect it to walk in the favor of God. That's a key component. All right? So, the next thing. Don't accept the past as a rule for the future. Don't accept the past as a rule for the future. You know, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 and 3, it talks about enlarging your tent and enlarging your influence. Too many of us sometimes, a lot of people get stuck in, I used to do this, I used to do that, I used to do this. Look, the Bible has it covered always. He used Paul, who killed Christians. And then he used a donkey to talk to him. And then he ended up writing most of the New Testament. Like I said in Pulse one time, I don't think anybody here killed anybody, right? I don't think so. God could use you. He said, not yet. You know, God could use you. God could use you. You know, and then, like, you have some people, like my background, I grew up in church. I never remember a day going to church. I never strayed too far away from God. I went and did my own thing for a little bit, but I never strayed away too far away from God. And then the enemy said, oh, well, you weren't. He used to mess with me with this. You don't know what you're doing. You don't have enough experience. Who are you going to help? How can you help them through this? How can you help them through that? And I'm like, and I really started to believe that. I'm like, It's almost like I wasn't bad enough to be effective for God. And that's how the enemy had me feeling. And I was just like, you know, and I was falling for it. And then you just, and then I'm just, and then I just finally came to the conclusion one day, that's actually how God intends it to be. You know, not my parents. My parents weren't perfect. Nope, no, because no parent is perfect. Okay, there's, like I said, Chronicles of a Pastor's Kid. I have a book I could write on that. Okay, so but no parent is perfect. But you know, I'm thankfully I had a lot of people praying for me. I had a lot of people looking out for me. I didn't have to deal with physical abuse. I didn't have to deal with verbal abuse. You know, and honestly, that's the norm is people dealing with abuse in some form or fashion nowadays. That's the norm today. It's not normal for someone to just be okay and everything. And it's sad. It's sad. So, you know, the enemy used to try and, you know, deal with me and that, and I felt insecure and I felt like I wasn't good enough. Like, how can I help people and how can I do that? And you know what? It is not our job to figure out how something happens. We just need to be in the right place where God tells us to be and let him work. We just have to make sure we're in the right place. That's like 80% of the battle right there. Make sure you're in the right place. When you're in the right place, God can lead you to do the right things. When you're in the right place, God can lead you to do the right things, and you'll do what you're supposed to do. And that's why you don't let the past determine your future. I think Pastor Peggy said this morning. You don't let the words of a wounded person determine your life. And a lot of that is stuff from the past. Your mama could have told you you're not going to be nothing. Your dad could have told you you're not going to be nothing. And you know what? Those words coming from those people are the most damaging on earth, because those are the people that has the most, or in most cases, should have the most influence in your life. So yeah, your parents might have told you that. And I'll say for my parents, they didn't tell me I wasn't going to do nothing, but on the other hand, it was kind of like, they weren't really encouraging either. It was kind of like, if I did good in the test, it was kind of like, okay, you were supposed to do good in the test. What, you want a cookie? You know, it wasn't really that. That was just what it is. That's just what it was. So, you know, I didn't have to deal with the negative side, but it wasn't really encouraging either. So you can't let your past determine your future. Expect favor with God. You can expect it. You can expect favor with God. You can expect the best things in life, because that's just how God intended it to be. All right? The other thing, what are we on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five. Overcome setbacks by faith. This is part of favor. Overcome setbacks by faith. How many of you guys have had just something in your life and you kind of felt like you took a step back or two? Like you were going good, all of us in here. You know, you were going good for a while, and then something happened and you're just like, oh man, and you fell back. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. It says, look to Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith. See, this is the cure for feeling sorry for yourself. If you feel sorry for yourself, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have done that. Oh, I should have done all of this. You know, look to Jesus. Let's read that. Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I don't care. Yes, you may have had stuff happen to you in your life. You may have had a lot of things going on in your life, but you can look to Jesus who went through everything. You have to realize what Jesus died on the cross, he took on sin and the penalty of the sin and the effects of sin all on himself so we don't have to. He took on the penalty of sin. He went down to hell. Jesus had to go to hell. This wasn't a choice for Jesus. He took the sin on himself. What happens when you took the sin on yourself and you own it? You separate yourself from God. That's why the devil was cast out of heaven. So the same thing happened to Jesus. It's just that when he went to hell, he overcame the grave. And he overcame the devil. And God raised him right back up. All right? But sometimes we have this thing where we feel sorry for ourselves and we just don't want to try anymore. We don't want to do these things because of a mistake that we did. Just look to Jesus. Jesus is the one that did everything for you. Jesus is the one that did it. And Romans 8, 29 and 30 talks about all things working together for your good. How many of you guys can see some of those same setbacks that you experienced? How many of those things have turned into a learning lesson in your life? How many times have you learned and grown out of those so-called setbacks? You know, there's a book out there by Tim Story. What is it called again? Prepare for Your Comeback. I actually bought it here. Hold on, I won't tell you right now. Come Back and Beyond. Come Back and Beyond. There's a lot of things that's gonna, there's some, this may be some things that happen in your life. And if you allow God to use them, you not only will you come back from it, you'll go so much further than where you were before. If you allow God to use that situation so you can learn and you can grow. That's what it's about. So don't overcome setbacks by faith. That is part of favor. Don't let your past failures determine whether you can expect favor from God or not. Just don't. Don't. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Number six. Write down favor needs, it says. Or another way to say it is just write down what you're expecting. Write down what you're expecting. Habakkuk 2:2, it says, write the vision down and make it plain. Write down what you're expecting. You know, honestly, there are some things that I need to, I have a whiteboard on my bedroom, and there are some things I need to write on there. And just to be totally honest, I just got lazy about it. And I got some writing to do on that thing. I have one thing that I wrote on there, and I'm working on it, but there's some other things I need to look at. And just, you know what it does? It keeps it in front of you. Because the things that you don't keep in front of you, you forget. And if you forget about them, you're not applying faith to it. Faith is active. You can't tell me, if you forgot about something, you are not applying faith. And it's not like you don't care or anything like that. Sometimes we just forget. So sometimes we need to put some things on there, put some things on to remind us about who we are in Christ. And sometimes just write down what you're aiming for, what you're believing for, so you can keep it there and keep your faith activated towards that. That's what we need to do sometimes. We need to do that. Second Corinthians 3:18. It talks about, you know, the setting new goals and going from glory to glory to glory. Actually, let's go there. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we are with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror from the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. See, this is talking about going from glory to glory. When you go from glory to glory, you go one goal, you set your sights on one goal, you hit it, and then you continue moving on again. There is no such thing as being a stagnant Christian. There's nothing, you don't ever stay the same. It's like driving a car. I don't care how well aligned the tires are. If you ever try to put the steering wheel straight and then let go? Does it ever stay straight? Not for long. Not for long. You always got to make adjustments there. You know, I even tried it yesterday. I got my cars aligned. I had four new tires. I had the brakes done. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Thank God for favor. Amen. I had like $200 off the bill, though. Praise the Lord. You know, so, but I had all that done. And I tried it yesterday, you know, got my tires aligned, and I'm like, let it go. And, it, you know, before it just used to, you know, go right away. But this time it stayed straight a little bit, but I still needed to make adjustments so I can go where I need to go. We all need to make adjustments from when we're going on from glory to glory to glory. We all need to make adjustments. So even when you hit one goal in your life, make the next goal bigger. Always make it bigger. You know, the first couple goals, okay, you probably should make it kind of easier so you maybe just attain it, get you some momentum building. But there should be some goals in your life where it ain't nothing but God that is going to work out. Because that's the dependence on God. That's when it comes to the end of yourself and the reliance on God. You know, 2 Corinthians, let's go here. This is in the notes, but 2 Corinthians, I want to say it's 9 and 8. Yes. So, Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified version. And honestly, this is a verse that I've been meditating on lately. And it said, and God is able to make all grace, the Amplified says, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. See, God is able to make all grace and every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. That's the favor of God that we're talking about. You can expect that because this Bible says that he's making that all available to you. So you can walk in that. You can talk in that. You can live in that. But we have to expect it for it to transform our life. And see, we need to train ourselves to see things God's way. I know you had a whole life of what your mama and them said, and then what your friends said, but we need to look at what God says about every situation. If you deal with fear in any area of your life, you need to look at what the Bible says about that, to let that truth overcome the truth that the fear is bringing to you. And I say truth in air quotes, because we know it's not truth. Fear will make it seem like it's true, but we know it's not true. Anything, you can really look at it like this. Anytime you're operating from a place of fear, you could just know that God is not in that. God is not in that. Just really look at it like that. God is not in that. So we need to do that. We need to aim our faith. And sometimes we don't want to, we're afraid to aim our faith because we're afraid that we don't get it. Sometimes, you know, my friend Anthony or Fidel, he says this in his song a lot. Sometimes you just have to do something scared. Sometimes you do something scared. And in other words, you may feel the effects of fear. You may feel it. But sometimes you just got to do it anyway. And when you do it anyway, that's the thing about feelings. You ever notice feelings don't really last that long? They may come, and you feel it for a while, but then a lot of the times when you face the thing that you're feeling, you kind of, 99.9% of the time, you're kind of like, this really wasn't that bad. You get here and it's like, you know, this kind of stinks, but it's not that bad. This is not too hard for me. Because fear will always make things, it will always amplify things bigger than what they really are. It'll always do that, every time, without fail. So don't let fear determine what you shoot for. Don't let fear determine what you can expect from God. Don't let fear determine the favor of God. Don't let it do it. About the favor, another seventh thing about the favor of God, step out in faith. Goes together with that. Step out in faith. Yeah. Number six was write down your needs. Number seven is step out in faith. The main thing you need to know about stepping out in faith is that trust that the Lord will lead you and is leading you. Trust that the Lord will lead you and is leading you. We always got to trust the Lord. And what does it say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. You know what's that? You know that three-letter word, all? You know what? The all? What's left after all? What's left after all? Nothing. Yeah, there you go. Nothing. What's left after? There's nothing. So guess what? There is nothing that we should entrust the Lord in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And number one, there's another thing too. There is nothing in your heart that you shouldn't trust God with. I honestly just thought about that while just quoting it just now. There's nothing you shouldn't trust in your heart. Trust the Lord with in your heart with. Because it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. So everything we do, we need to acknowledge him. Everything we do, we need to say, Lord, what's going on here? Now, again, everything has balance. I mean, unless you just felt led of the Lord to ask him what to wear every day, that's on you, you know? But in all your ways, in the decisions of life, in the things that make a difference, I guess that's the best way to put it. In the things that make a difference. Now, there are some cases where the Lord, you know, I've known some people where the Lord say, don't wear this, wear that, and then something happened and, you know, just things happen that way, you know, praise the Lord. But, and he'll let you know that if in those cases. But in everything that makes a difference, everything, we need to acknowledge him. What job do we take? We need to acknowledge him. Which church do we go to? We need to acknowledge him. Where do you live? We need to acknowledge him. How to correct children? Definitely need to acknowledge him. You know, how to sow seed, where to sow seed, who to bless, you need to acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And see, this is the thing about that verse too. It says, then he will direct your path. You have to acknowledge him first. Sometimes we want to just go out. Sometimes we want God to bless what we do instead of doing what he says and then having that be blessed. If God tells you to do something, it's going to be blessed. But sometimes we want to do things our own way, and then we want Lord to put his blessing on our own thinking. How many of you know that it don't work that way? It doesn't work that way. You know, let's read the verse. I know you guys have read it before, but let's just go. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look, I already have it highlighted here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Ha, look at verse 7, number 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. When we acknowledge God in all our ways and we let him direct our path, it will be strength to our bones. It will be what it says here. It will be strength to your bones and it will be health to our flesh. Let's let him decide. Let's let him direct our path. But let trust the Lord that he will lead you and is leading you. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, it talks about the Spirit of truth. That's who you have living on the inside of you. That's one of the names of the greater one, the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. God himself is living inside of you, telling you. You know, you need, you know, I guess this kind of goes with, this goes with this. You know, when I went to Bible school, then there's always all kinds of people everywhere, even at Bible school. And, you know, I went there with this whole facade of, oh, everybody's going to love Jesus and it's just going to be one joyous thing. Well, I stopped hanging around two groups of friends before I found a group of friends that I hung out with that will actually love the Lord with all their heart and soul and mind and body. Because one set, like one place, I went there and I went against the Holy Ghost, like, nope, don't go to that party. Don't go to that party. Okay, I went to the party and all these dudes are talking up, they're graduates and they talked about all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, seriously? You graduated from that school right there? And a lot of these dudes, well, with exception of one is a youth pastor because he turned his life around, but the rest of them, I don't even know what they're doing. And the Lord was trying to even, because there I kind of let my guard down. I was kind of like, okay, well, everybody here is going to be love Jesus and, you know, nobody's going to do anything crazy. Well, I was quickly mistaken. And the Lord was trying to lead me until a second set of friends, and that, you know, they were there, but like one told me she was only there because her parents told her that if I don't come to school here, they're not going to pay for my college tuition on another regular school. And I'm just kind of like, wow, well, that's interesting. That was my thinking. And some other people just had some different things. And the Lord tried to direct me. And it wasn't until finally I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to let you happen. I'm just going to let you do what you do. And then I found some of the people that's still my best friends today. But this is why you let the Lord guide you in all your paths. Because as a result of that second set of people, I got to be a coach. I got to be an assistant coach at the volleyball team at the school. And I just walked into it. I can't tell you how it happened. And it was a great experience. I learned so much. I got to travel with the team on the school's dime. And I got to do so many things. But it was just such an example of just letting God lead you. So when he leads you, you run into things where favor is already set up for you. You run into paths where favor is already sitting right there waiting for you. And you don't even... It's just there. You walk into it, and you're just kind of like, wow. Now, there are some other things where you still need to confess and do some things, but when you're in the plan of God for your life, there are going to be some things where favor is just right there because God set it up for you, and you're just supposed to walk right into it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the call of God or the journey of God on your life, It's not about God blessing what you do. It's about you doing what God says, and that is already blessed. You know that? Does that make sense? Like, he already told you to do this. He already told you to do that. So if he told you to do it, that's the blessed road that you should take. If he told you to take, if you got 1, 2, and 3, and 2 is blessed, that's the one he wants you to go. It's not about taking road 1 and then asking God to bless your plans. I tried that. And it doesn't work that way. Like I told you guys, when I went to help my friend start a church in Orlando, it doesn't work that way. The blessing was here when I moved back here. That's where the blessing was. So we need to step out. So we need to step out in faith and trust that he is leading us. We need to trust every direction that God tells us to take. We need to trust it every time. Every time. John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice. You know, one thing I started doing was that I simply started speaking, God is my Father, I hear his voice, I know his voice, and a stranger I will not follow. I simply started saying that on a regular basis to myself. And you know what started to happen? I knew God's voice. I just knew. Because sometimes, we've all been there at some point in our life where you're like, is this me? Is this God? Is it the devil? Well, if it's the devil, that's going to be very evident. The devil is not going to tell you to sow into youth ministry. That is not the devil, okay? that could be something that's your thoughts or whatever, and you just need to take the time to settle it within yourself. But one thing I just started speaking to myself, and this is faith. I know God. I see God. I know him, I see him, and I follow him. And I started saying that. I started saying that on a regular basis. Anytime I have things or questions about decisions I need to make, I simply start saying, I know him, I see him, I hear him, I follow him. If you ever have any, and you can use John 10:27 as your scripture reference. Anytime you're in question about what you should do, you start speaking to yourself, I know him, I see him, I hear him, I follow him, and you will know what to do. You will know what to do. You will know. That's how God works. That's just how he works. You put faith on something, he's going to meet it. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, going and walking around and training your mind and doing that stuff to say, I know him, I see him, I fear him, I know him, I see him, I hear him, and I follow him. That's training your mind. That's renewing your mind. And that's seeking him. And that's seeking him and seeking how he does things. Number 8, do all, somebody say all. All. Do all to the glory of God. Watch your motives. Watch your motives. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I will not be a bondservant of Christ. If your motive is to seek and is to please people, you're not pleasing God. It's all about motive. You know, that's the thing about God. Your heart is the most important thing to him. Your heart is the most important thing to him, because wherever your heart is, that's where your life will go. Like, that's where your life will go. That's why it says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Your heart is the biggest indicator of where your life is going to go. And that's why we always have to check our motives. That's why we always got to do that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. The first part of that is what I want to focus on. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. We all, in everything we do, we need to serve as unto God. We need to serve as unto God. It ain't about you and your agenda. It ain't about you and what you feel like should be done. It ain't about you and, you know, I got a reminder of that today. It ain't about your agenda. It ain't about what you want to be done or your way of doing things. It's about glorifying God. It's about glorifying God. And the best way for you to glorify God, you know what? The best way for you to glorify God at your job is to be the best employee for your employer. If you're not self-employed or whatever, if you have a boss, the best way for you to glorify God in your job is to be the best employee for your employer. You should always make him or her look good. You should be the one that they depend on and count on to do whatever that needs to be done. It should be you. That's what you want to be that. Not to say you need to brown nose or whatever, but you just should. Let's put it like this. When you work as unto the Lord will always make sure the right people see it. He will always make sure the right people see it. Because you don't want to do things to please men, but when you work as unto the Lord will, he will make that favor just go before you. That's what happened with Joseph in his life. He was honoring God, just like with Potiphar, the ruler's wife. He didn't want to sin against God. He didn't want to sin against God. That was his main motive. So guess what? If he didn't want to sin against God in that, that really just shows Joseph's motive. If he didn't want to sin against God in that, where he could have easily gotten away with it with men, that's a big indicator that everything in his life was God's way of doing things. That's what his focus was on. God's way of doing things. Because, like I said, he could have easily done it and got away with it with people. But he knew God was looking. So, and it's like many people say, the real you is who you are when nobody is looking. And that's who Joseph was. I mean, yeah, okay, technically he had the lady there, but nobody else was there. Nobody else was there. And this happened. And he still got thrown in the dungeon because he followed God. But God always rose him back, right back up. He pulled him right back up. All right, last thing, confess to stay in favor. Confess to stay in favor. This is another way of saying it. You're just confessing it to keep it in front of you. You keep it in front of you. You know, one of the things at the Bible school, Doug Jones, he said this. He said, he told students this, and it was mind-boggling to me, but I actually get it now. He said, if you don't keep the things before you that you learned while you're here at school, you'll revert back to what you were before you came here, and even worse. And I was kind of like, how can somebody come to this place, get all this knowledge, get all of this wisdom, and then go right back to what they were? I was like, nobody ain't doing that. Yet, through the avenue of Facebook, I see it. Through a lot of classmates, really, just think about it. How many pastors have fallen because of some type of sexual sin or other things like that? A lot of it is not ill-willed people. It's sometimes they've just got so busy working for God, they forgot about their relationship with God. And they forgot about keeping the right things before them. And really, we all should live life, not to live in fear, but we all should live like, yeah, that could happen to me, but I'm not going to let it happen to me because I'm going to keep the word in front of me. Let's put it like this. You stray away from the word, yes, that can happen to you. And it will. If you ever stray away from the word and just want to do things and not let God govern your life, and that's why make Jesus the Lord of your life, not just fire insurance, going to hell. You know, not just fire insurance. If you don't make him the Lord of your life, you will revert back to what you were and even worse. But that's why you need to trust him with all your heart and not lean onto your own understanding. This is why we keep the word in front of us. We all have to. We must. I'm sure, and you know, there may be seasons where sometimes we get busy and we allow ourselves to forget our relationship with God. I've been there. Guilty, bought the t-shirt. But it's what you do to get back on. And a lot of these same pastors, it's kind of like that whole thing with the boat. You know that story with the illustration with the boat that's not, that it was docked, but then the rope came off? It doesn't go away from the dock all in one stride. It just goes by wave and wave and wave. And in a couple hours, it's far beyond, out in the lake or wherever. Just detached. And it's the rope that keeps it attached. We all need to stay attached. The Bible is the way we stay attached to God. We need to keep that in front of us. We need to keep that in front of us. So even with the favor of God, we need to keep the favor of God in front of us so we can expect it. Expect the favor of God. In every situation, speak it. Well, what if it doesn't work? Well, okay, you may not have seen it that time, but sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes you don't know. Like, I didn't, even with getting my brakes and my tires done yesterday, like, I was just looking at it, and I'm like, oh, man, I paid all this money. But then I'm like, oh, $160 there. He gave me half off for that. And then I talked to him. He was like, yeah. He's like, you good? He's like, yeah, you good. Don't worry about it. I just hooked you up. You good. And I just say, hey, praise God. And so, hey, and this is the thing about favor. When you look for it, how do I say this? When you look for favor, it helps you just keep your focus in the right place. Because at that point, I could have focused on, oh my gosh, I paid all this money for this new tires and all of that, and I just spent this whole thing when I just, I'm telling you how I had to rail my mind in. I'm like, oh man, I was paying this whole thing, and then I just sold all this money for the pie auction, and then this happened, and now this going on. This is stuff that was going on in my head. And then I really had to rein myself in and just say, you know what, I'm thankful that I even had the money to pay for this. And then I looked at the bill, and I saw the deductions and what happened and what they did for there, and it was cheap. Then I realized, oh man, that was even cheaper than doing it at Mazda, at the Mazda dealership, which where that was the place I took it to first for something else. And I was like, oh my gosh, I would have wasted a whole bunch of money there. So I started to get thankful for that. And then you find things to get thankful for. You find things to get thankful for. So it's not necessarily looking and expecting favor. It's not just necessarily to receive things, but it also keeps your mind in the right place about being thankful and being content, like what we talked about last week. It helps you. It helps you stay right there. John 6:33, it says, my words are spirit and life. This is under confess. You need to speak God's word. You need to speak God's word. Isaiah 55:11 and Numbers 27-12. That talks about, well, God will perform his word. Isaiah 55:11 and Numbers 27-12. That talks about God performing his word. That's Isaiah 55:11 and Numbers 27-12. And then Mark 11:23-24, we speak to mountains. We're mountain movers. God made us to be mountain movers. That's what we're supposed to be. Mountain movers. Use the word of God. Use it. Expect favor of God. Look, there is nothing wrong with expecting the favor of God every day of your life. There is nothing wrong with it. Nothing. Not one thing. The enemy will try to say, oh, you're expecting too much. What does Ephesians 3:20 says? He will do exceedingly, abundantly, far beyond that you could ask or think. Far beyond that you can ask or think. You can never expect too much from God. It really is impossible to expect too much from God. Whatever you can think of, expect it. Whatever your faith can match, expect it. Whatever you can do, expect it. All right, let's take a 10-minute break. That was the end of favor, and then we're going to go on to the tithe when we come back. We're going to go ahead and get started again. All right, so we know, just so you guys know, we do not have class next week. It's Father's Day. Huh? Hey, Father's Day. We are an equal opportunity church, so. Yep. What happened? That's right, yeah. Whoever wins a grill is going to be cooking for everybody. So, whoever wins a grill is going to be cooking. I'm not too sure exactly. You have to write, the men have to write their name down. Yeah, and then we're going to pick from that. So, you write your name down for first, but we're going to do the drawing in a second. But you actually have to write your name down at first. Yeah, you have to do it if you're, you have to be here, yeah. No, not for both. You could be here for one and then, yeah. But just you have to write your name down. You can't be talking about, hey, Pastor D, write my name down, you know. Huh? Yeah. Can't be nominated. That's right. You must be present at least one service to win. Let's put it like that. Huh? You got me, right? You funny. All right. So we talked a lot about the favor of God and, just expect it. That's all it's about. Now, we're going to talk about the tithe. The tithe. You know, the simple definition of a tithe is for give one penny. What is it? Give one penny for every 10 you make. Hey. Okay, that's it. We're going to go on to the next subject. No. No. That, you know, you give is the tenth of your income. First thing about the tithe, the first thing we're going to talk about is the tithe principle and Abraham. Abraham. You know, if you were in Sunday school back in the day, you sung that song, Father Abraham, and then he sung, yeah. All right. And he left, well, you know, anyways. You know, so that's why we talk about Abraham. Abraham walked in covenant with God. And we're going to talk a little bit about covenant. It ties in with the tithe, but we're going to talk a little bit about the covenant. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, this is where God talks about the covenant. And then in Genesis 13, 15, and 16, God talks about the blessing of the covenant. All right? So the first, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, talks about, that's where the covenant was stated, was talked about. And then Genesis 13, 15, and 16, that's the blessing of the covenant. You know, Abraham walked in covenant with God. All right. Now, here, look at this. In B, Abraham gave tithes to God. Genesis chapter 14, 17 through 20, this is where it talks about Melchizedek. Now, pretty much a simple way of putting Melchizedek, he was the Jesus of the Old Testament. Let's just put it like that. He was the Jesus of the Old Testament. If you go to chapter 4, let's go to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. And after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, we're going to go with that, and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, that was Abraham's name before he was named Abraham, God of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. Now, this just simply talks about how Abraham gave tithes. He gave tithes. It started in the beginning. Abraham, like I said, you know, that whole song, same song, Father Abraham, he had many sons. He had many sons of Father Abraham, and I am one of them. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Left foot. Anyways, you know. That's Abraham was the beginning. He was at the beginning of all. He was the beginning of all this. So we're sons and daughters of Abraham. So if our father gave tithes to God, what should we do? to give tithes. That's what we do. That's what we do. And see, it talks about here that Jesus represents, Melchizedek represents Jesus, he represents Jesus Christ. Let's look at Hebrews 7, 12. Hebrews 7, 12. Hebrews 7, 12. It says, "For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, for which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord rose from Judah, which of the tribe of Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And yet it is far more evident in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." And then if you read in verse 22, it says, "By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of the better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he who continues forever has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost." Oh, that's some good preaching right there. He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come through God, since he always lives to make intercession for them. See, this is where it talks about Jesus is the new high priest. Jesus is the one when we bring our tithes to the offering, yes. When we bring our tithes and we put it in the offering, yes, we are putting it in a little blue thing or we're putting it in the bucket, but it goes to the church, but this is the order that God has set up. So, and really, our heart is giving it back to God. We're giving it back to God. It wasn't yours in the first place. That's how I like to look at it. It wasn't yours in the first place. You know, a lot of people don't get upset when they take taxes out there, check. But yeah, let me talk about some 10% and they get a whole attitude. It wasn't yours in the first place. The taxes that you pay, it wasn't yours in the first place. It's the same thing. It's just that your tithe will do a lot more for you than your taxes will. I think I'll just leave that right there. You know, your tithe will do a lot more for you and it'll do a lot more for the kingdom of God than your taxes will. And hey, we're just returning back to God what is his. And the thing is, we get blessed for that. We can get some extra for that. You know, when you pay your taxes, the only thing you pay is not going to jail. That's your only benefit. Well, not only benefit, but that's one of your main benefits. They won't come down. They won't garnish your checks. They won't try to throw you in jail, which I never understood. They're going to throw you in jail for not paying your taxes. How are you going to pay it? But anyways, you know, but that's that. But that's what the tithe is already his. It's already his. So we are just returning back to God what is already his. So we need to think about the tithe like that. Now let's look at Moses. The law of the tithe and Moses. Now, you're going to do a lot of writing here because there's a lot of scripture references, but you can go back and I would encourage you to go back and read it on your own on this, all right? Moses and Israel, they were in covenant with God, all right? Moses and Israel, they're in covenant with God. If you look at first scripture reference, if you just look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 through chapter 26. Like I said, this is something you can read on your own. You can go back and you can see that's the covenant that was stated with Israel, with Moses. That was a whole lot of stuff. So Deuteronomy chapter 5 through chapter 26, that's where all the commandments were. It's 613 commandments total. How many? 613. How many of you guys can say, thank God for Jesus? Because he said, I came to fulfill the law. And that's what I love about this. You know, when Jesus said all the commandments, it could be summed up in one thing. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you know that's a lot easier to remember? That's a lot easier to remember. Now, there are some people that exist that know the whole Bible, like scripture and reference off the top of your head. I'm not one of them. You know, like I said, my wife is the only person I know that knows the books of the Bible from Genesis to Exodus. I mean, Genesis to Exodus. Genesis to Revelation. I'm telling you. Boy, you know, see, there's hope for y'all. I went to Bible school, you know, and I said that. You know. But, you know, that's, you know, she's the only person I know that knows it from Genesis to Revelation. You know, so there are some people that they can know all this whole thing, and they know the whole, you know, 613 commandments and this whole nine. But thank God for Jesus that just said, love God first and love the neighbor as yourself. And that's it. Praise God. You know, everything is just summed up in that. When you follow God and you're following the plan of God for your life, that's putting God first. When you love, when you treat other people with love, that's loving your neighbor as yourself. Anything else, everything else will fall into that. Everything else. So we need to keep that in mind. All right. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, it talks about the blessing of the covenant. And that talks about it, obedience. That's where it says you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You won't come last in any good thing. Your storehouses will be blessed. You know, that's what that all talks about. And then Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68 talks about the cursing of the covenant through disobedience. Through disobedience. All right. So now Moses and Israel, that's how they have their covenant with God. Now B, the law of the tithe. In Deuteronomy 14, 23 to 26, and Deuteronomy 12, 17, the law of the tithe. Deuteronomy 14, 12 through 26, and Deuteronomy 12, 17. This is talking about in the first and the second year, the Jews would consume the tithe. But then in Deuteronomy 14, 26 through 29, the third year was the tithe for the storehouse. All right, you could go ahead and study that. Look, this is the thing about the tithe. The tithe is all about your heart. That's what it's about. It's about your heart. It's about saying, God, you are number one in my life. And everything else will follow. You know, people put their money where they believe. They will. They'll put their money where they believe. If they don't believe, God, if you meet someone that doesn't tithe, it's a good indication of just not believing God the way they should. I'm not saying that in a bad way, like to judge them or judge that. I'm not saying that because we've all been there. My dad taught me, that was one thing my dad taught me, it was about tithing. In my entire life, I remember five times where I did not tithe. And all those five times, I was like, Lord, forgive me. It just was that. One time was that, I remember one time in high school, and I got money from working, and yeah, I had this decision to make. I had my girlfriend that I could take out or tie. Girlfriend and tie. You know, I was young in the Lord, and, so my girlfriend took the girlfriend out, and let's just say, I repented quickly right after that. You know, it just didn't work out because God wasn't in that. Well, God wasn't in that in the first place anyways, but God wasn't in that, especially after that, you know. And, you know, I remember each time I did the tithe. And I could see how the devourer wasn't rebuked. And I didn't blame God. because I knew better than to blame God. I knew it was on me. And I lifted his protection over my finances during that time. It's about our heart. It's about our heart. It's about giving back to God. It's about just giving right back to him. Again, like it says in Malachi, actually, let's just go there. Malachi 3. Malachi 3. 8. Verse 8. Now, I like to read from the New American Standard Bible. So if it doesn't sound word for word what you got, it's good, but just follow with it. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. Now, stop there. God is the last person you want to rob. I don't care who, what kind of person you meet in the alley or whatever. God is the last person you want to rob. Let's just go with that. So, Malachi 3:8, and I always wondered why God put Malachi as the last book in the Old Testament and right before the New. I was like, because sometimes they say, oh, tithing is an Old Testament thing. I was like, Lord, couldn't you just move Malachi over one book? and just make it in the New Testament. But, Malachi 3, 8 through 11. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the tithe into the what? Storehouse. Where's the storehouse? There you go. So that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. He is saying, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Bring it here. Where do you get fed? I would say, bring it. Y'all say, what's the storehouse? The storehouse is wherever you get spiritually fed. And right now, for all of us in here, that's Believers Victory Church. That's where it is. That's where it goes. It's more than bringing it into the storehouse. It is more about your dependence on God. It's more about your dependence on God. We all need to depend on God. Trust the Lord, like we said, we're talking about earlier in Proverbs, trust the Lord in all your ways. This is how you trust God with your finances. I give this to you. when you trust someone, you don't put all the effort on your own. It's not all on you. You know what I mean? Like, when you really trust someone, you take it out of your control. You take things out of your control, and you put some of it, at least some of it, on the person that you're trusting. Trust fall. We've all heard of that. You're trusting that somebody's going to catch you. You're trusting that they're behind you. Because you're putting your trust in them that they won't fall. Bringing tithe into the storehouse, that's trusting God to say, Lord, you're going to meet my need every time. No matter what happens, no matter what goes down, it has to. And it takes faith. Sometimes it takes faith. Like I was telling you guys last week, or the week before, that time where me and my wife, when we first got married and we were down to $27 for 2 weeks. No savings. We didn't build up a savings or anything. That wedding money just went, Anyways, we had no savings, nothing. We had $27 to our name. Yes, the thought of not tithing crossed my mind. It did. Yeah, it did. But you know what? We believe God. And like I said, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And then, you know, like I told you guys, 5 hours later, Jessica Cintron was working at the church at the time, and she called me and said, hey, somebody gave you $1,000. Praise the Lord. Thought it was for the youth group, and then she had to convince me it was for me and Vilya, you know, but that's just God. And yeah, that temptation came to tithe, you know, to not tithe. You know, we could have done something with that. When you got $27 and, you know, naturally you're looking at giving it back to God, you know. Well, when you're looking at it naturally, you don't look at it as giving it back to God. You're looking at it as it's going away. It's like you're paying a bill. And I'll say, you know, for me and my wife, now, if this is you, you do what God tells you to do, okay? But for me and my wife, we were doing the thing through the auto pay through our bank, and we were mailing in a check and stuff like that. And we do that for our offering. Now, before I tithe, we were doing that as well. And I just got a check about it one day. And I was like, what's going on? And then what happened is I realized I forgot that I was tithing. Like I said earlier, if you forget, you can't put faith on something that you forget. Because it was just going out automatically. So the action of tithing was there, but my heart of tithing wasn't there. It wasn't. And, you know, it was like a bill. So the Lord really dealt with me, and we changed back to writing the check here and bringing it here and putting it in the offering with everyone else. This is what God did for me. Because for me, in my heart, that's what I had to do to put faith to returning my tithe and my offering, returning my tithe and sowing my offering to God. That's what I had to do. You know, if you do that, that's fine. That's between you and God. That's whatever. You know, that's no judgment. But I almost felt hesitant to share that, but I did. You know, because for me, that I had to make that heart, that was my action to make my heart adjustment. That was my attitude to make my heart adjustment. My action to make my heart adjustment. And I had to, because I had I was like, oh yeah, we're tithing. You know, I remember one time I was like, oh yeah, we're tithing. Is it coming out? Like, I had to go back in the bank statement to make sure it was going out every week. And then I'm like, this is not how this is supposed to work. that's just kind of how I was on that. It was for me. So for me, I had to, we went back and we sit there and we pray, we hold it together and we pray, and we return it to God and sow our seed. And that was my action to make sure that my heart is in the right place. And you have to do what you got to do to make sure your heart is in the right place. You know, I know one person, whenever he gets paid, he withdraws cash, I think he still does it, and brings it to the safe here as soon as he can. That's what he does. That's something that God told him to do. It ain't something he told me to do. But for everybody, it's different. So I say that to say this, you know, it's not about how, it's about your heart. It's not about the method, it's about your heart. Now, in order, sometimes God may change your method to affect your heart, but it's not about how you do it, it's about your heart. It's about your heart. Always make sure your heart is in your tithe. Never, ever, listen to me, never, ever, 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 ever just give your tithe out of habit. Don't give it out of habit. I'm going to write that one down. never give your tithe out of habit. Now, I'm not saying don't give if your heart is not in it, don't give your tithe. I'm just saying get your heart in it. You know what I mean? Get your heart in it. Get your heart in it. Move it. Put your faith in there. habit. All right. Save that for the next time I teach this class. No, you know, never give your tithe out of habit. Make sure your heart is in there. Make sure God is in there. Make sure you know what you're doing. Like, remind yourself of what you're doing. You're returning to God. You are just, yes, you're helping the church. Yes, you're doing this. Yes, you're doing what God told you to do. But you are setting yourself up. You're setting yourself up for God to bless you in every way. In every way. You know, some, you know, Pastor Peggy is, and some of us, we had the joke, are you, something happens to be like, are you tithing? You know, and it's a joke. But really, sometimes you could, yeah, sometimes you got to check yourself. It's like, are you tithing? And you see, and this is for me too. In that same instance, I was tithing in action, but not in heart. I was tithing in action, but not in my heart. That said, you can't tithe. If you forget about it, you're not tithing, you're just giving money. Your heart has to be with it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Seeking first, the thing is about seeking, it takes effort, and tithing takes effort, but that's you seeking God first, and that's you doing things his way. Not you doing things his way. For where your heart is, your treasure is also. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. Man, your heart should be in the local church. So you should be putting your treasure in the local church. And God already gave you the tithe to bring back to the local church. So that's already set. Like, that's just how it works. So that he really makes it easy. So guys, we can't afford to look at tithing as a task. Now, this is not something you guys are in a class. This is a classroom setting. You can't afford to look at tithing as a task. It will do you no benefit. You can look at it as obedience, because it is, you know, you are obeying God. Don't look at it as a task. Definitely don't look at it as a bill. Because a bill is a bill. A bill has no power to it. Tithing. That got some dunamis power to that. That's some life power to that. That it has it. It brings life to you. It brings life to your checkbook. It brings life. But, you know, I would really, each one of you, ask yourself and just really check yourself, where is my heart during tithing? When it's time for tithe. And it may not, you know, my wife and I, we know what we're tithing. We know what we're tithing most of the time because our paycheck is typically the same, you know, every other week. So we know what we're tithing. But still, when we meet to go over the budget, we look at it and we just kind of make sure, you know, this is going to God? Yes, that's the first check. That's kind of the first thing we mark off on our little ledger thing. Make sure that's factored in, and then everything else gets paid after that. But check your heart while you're doing that. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Because you can't make adjustments. If you need to make adjustments, you need to be honest with yourself. Don't try to be over-spiritual with yourself. You know what I mean? Like, if there's something there, look at it, examine it, check what's there. And just really take an honest look. Are you doing it with an attitude of, oh, I got to do this? Or are you doing this with an attitude of, I get to do this? Or are you doing it that I have to do this, or I'm just, this is just another task, it's just something we do? You know, don't pay your tithe is not something you pay with what you have left over. Your tithe is what you pay, like everything else depends on it. And I even hate to say pay. That's even a bad terminology. Return, bring. You know, your tithe is what you return, like everything else depends on it. You know, you don't do everything else and then, oh yeah, let me see if I have enough to tithe. Okay, we can tithe this week. No, it don't work that way. That's what you do first. take care of him first. Take care of God first. You know, people always, and then some people have asked, you know, do I tithe off the net? Do I tithe off the gross? I tithe off the gross. That's the one before taxes, right? Yes, I tithe off the gross. I know somebody else that tithes off the net. And he's a blessed individual. He's a blessed individual. You do what God tells you to do. You know, I guess there, you know, people have used scriptures to, you know, do that. They say you pay God before you pay Uncle Sam, you know, all of that stuff. You know, you do what God tells you to do. You know, my wife and I, we pay off the gross. And like I said, a friend who is the pastor, he paid off his net. And he's a blessed man. Blessed man. Blessed man. I even got me thinking I should tithe off the net sometimes. but I'm like, man, is that how it works? But no, you know, but you do what God tells you to do. But you do it. You know, it's not about a formula. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's a personal act. It's a personal act. Nobody don't need to know how much you tithing. Nobody. Now, if you're on staff here, you got to tithe. And Pastor Peggy checks. And she makes no bones about it. If you're a pastor or you work here, hey. And if one of us got an attitude about it, well, you just don't work here. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, but that's if you work here. She doesn't go around everybody, are you a tither? Okay, we're going to send you flowers. No, we don't do that. But, you know, if you're a staff here, you know, you tithe because it's about your heart again. She wants to know if your heart is here. Is your heart here? You know, and, yeah. Sorry, I was going to say something and then I decided not to. it's your heart here. So guys, tithing, and we're going to get more into tithing next week the week after, in the last class. But let's remember, I really want you to think about that. Whenever you do your time of when you're going to determine how much you tithe, if it's here, you know, some people here, like me and my wife, know we already know what it is going to be before we get here. Some people do it here. Some people do it at home. Whenever that time is, examine your heart. Ask God to show you. Ask God to show you. You know, I always found there are some prayers that it seems like the Holy Ghost answer quicker than others. That's kind of one of those things. Whenever you ask God to reveal something about your heart, I always find those answers come a lot quicker. It always comes a lot quicker. It's like it's just exposed and it just opens. You know, ask God to show you. That's another reason for the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth will show you truth about yourself. It's not about it's not only about bad situations, it's not only about people lying to you. You know, all of that, yeah, that could be that. It's not about just being deceived or not being deceived. It's about seeing the truth about yourself. Ask the Holy Ghost. And this is not one of those things where you can really ask another person to, you know, what you think, because a tithe is personal. The tithe should be personal. That's between you and God. Nobody else needs to know how much it is, and they ain't no need to know how much you make. That's between you and God. All right, so we're going to talk about the tithe a little more next week, and that's it. Homework. I do have homework.